Subscribe to TourCloud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TourCloud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture. Check it out.
The days on the boulevard I landed. We used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract,
and me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine that we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
A tidbit, a spidgin. I don't get the message, so you gots to
okay.
Run the pigeon.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
But then grab the microphone and let your words rip.
Now here's a funky introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer cause you see I last long. My crew is never ever whack because we stand strong. Now if you say my style is whack, I swear you're dead wrong. I say that body and else.
What's going on, guys? Alright, welcome to today's episode of the goingfor2.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I am, of course, your host, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. That's Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F. All right, guys. So the intro music, if you are an old school hip hop fan, you may already know why I chose that intro music. That is actually Tribe Called Quest, who actually lost one of its members a couple days ago. Fife Dawg of Tribe Called Quest passed away from complications of diabetes at 45. Very tragic death. For those of y'all that are hip hop fans that know, you know, early 90s type stuff. Of course they were huge in the early 90s when I was growing up. I was in high school when they were, you know, at their peak of popularity. I love Tribe Called Quest, always have. So I just wanted to kind of give a tribute to Tribe Called Quest and Fife Dawg, with that intro music. And also just on that note, if you want to check out, there's another podcast, on Talk Loud Radio. A guy by the name of Wood, he's a host of a show called Pay Me No Mind. He actually did a tribute show to Fife Dawg. So if you are an old school hip hop fan, definitely give that a listen. You can find it right here on Talk Loud Radio. Just look for the Pay Me No Mind podcast. All right. So big news coming out today. Of course, a few days ago, we knew that FanDuel and DraftKings had pulled out of New York. So you can no longer play, you know, those sites. But up until today, or yesterday, by the time you hear this podcast, you were still able to play sites like Yahoo, some of the smaller sites like DraftPot and Fantasy Draft and Fantasy Picks and, you know, all the smaller DFS sites. But unfortunately, now even they have been, you know, pulled out of New York. You can no longer play any form of daily fantasy sports, at least traditionally. But I do have some good news. The No Halftime app that I've been promoting for about a month or almost 2 months now is still operating in New York. If you haven't downloaded it yet, I suggest checking it out, especially if you're in New York. It's currently only available for iPhone, but I am told that as of April 3rd, which coincides with MLB's opening day, which is April 4th, they will have the app available for Droid as well. So if you're on Droid, you know, just give it a few weeks and you can actually download it. But if you're on, if you have an iOS, you have an Apple phone, you have an iPad or anything like that, you can still download it. And if you use my promo code G42, that's G, the number 4, and the number 2, you can get $5 to play, free to play. So there's no reason not to play. Like I said, especially if you're in New York and you're fiending for some DFS, I suggest checking it out. It's basically very simple. It's one player versus one player. So basically you set up a challenge where you just say, I take John Wall versus Kyrie Irving. Or I take Kevin Durant versus Paul George. Whatever the case may be, you can create any kind of challenges. They have all sports, you know, NBA, MLB, NHL, you know, pretty much everything that you can kind of think of. They got all the players. So if you wanted to pick some guys that are lesser known, not the big top guys, you can do that as well. But like I said, use my promo code G42 and you get $5 free. So there's no reason not to try it out. I've been playing for about 2 months. I've actually done really well on the site. If you got any kind of daily fantasy experience, you could definitely win some money over there. So you got nothing to lose. Like I said, use my promo code G42 and you got nothing to lose just to try it out. All right, guys. So we have a great show today. We're actually going to have a guy by the name of Jose Ramos come on. He's actually the founder of DFS How To. Basically, he's got a website, dfshowto.com, and he has a podcast called DFS How To as well. He basically is trying to have a sort of a guide to DFS for all the new listeners. Or I'm sorry, all the new DFS players out there. Things that a lot of us take for granted, you know, the acronyms like GPP and, you know, chalk plays, and what does that mean? What does it mean to fade somebody? So he's kind of, you know, setting up sort of like a user's guide through podcasting and through an internet site, teaching you how to play DFS, how to manage your bankroll, you know, different things like that, that a lot of us that have been playing for a while kind of take for granted. So definitely worth a listen. He also has a lot of guests come on his show that are in the DFS industry. He had the founder of DailyFantasyNerd.com, same as I did, to come on and talk about it a little bit. He's had a couple other guys come on as well, just to kind of shed some light on the DFS world. If you know, play DFS, you might have heard some of the names that he has on there, but definitely worth the listen. So we're going to have him come on and talk about that. I'm also at the end of the podcast, because I did mention the No Halftime app. We actually interviewed the founder of the No Halftime app on a podcast about 3 podcasts ago. I'm actually going to go ahead and just re-air that at the end. So if you haven't heard the interview, you can check that out at the end of the podcast. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and take a break here. And then when we come back, we will have Jose Ramos on the phone.
So you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow that. Well, now you can with the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create challenges using individual players. You can pit LeBron James versus Steph Curry or Kevin Durant versus James Harden. Creating and accepting challenges is as easy as it gets. No Halftime challenges can be private or public and created for all the major sports, including college. Join today and start winning real money. Fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit NoHalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone. Receive a $5 bonus by entering in the promo code G42 at sign up. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports never takes a break.
All right, guys, welcome back. And we are here with Jose, founder of DFS How To. It's a podcast. I'll let him tell us where you can find him at. But basically it's a great podcast. I actually found him through, our last guest. Actually, if you listen to the last podcast, we had, Eric from DailyFantasyNerd.com on. He actually had sent out an email to all his subscribers, calling out the podcast that he was on. So I went and listened to it and, kind of discovered DFS How To podcast, through him. So kind of just a little bit of connections in the business there. So we're going to go ahead and bring Jose on. So Jose, glad to have you on the podcast. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing real good. All right. So I'm just going to kind of let you talk for a minute. Just tell us about, you know, DFS, how to, what exactly you're trying to accomplish with it, how it came about, and where you're taking it sort of in the future and what you want to see it become.
Absolutely. So DFS How To, it's actually, I have a website for it too, dfshowto.com. It was born out of the kind of need a little bit of helping out people that are just getting started with DFS. So I usually go to the subreddit for Daily Fantasy Sports, and there I would see often a lot of people were asking the same questions over and over again. And even though there's a lot of good sources out there, for the day-to-day plays and all that good stuff. A lot of, like your website, for example, a lot of them don't focus as much on people just getting started and actually working on the strategies and things they should be looking at, and just answering simple questions that we DFS players that have been playing for a little bit, for a long time now, or a few months or whatnot, we already know and we take for granted. But when we're getting started, there's a lot that we didn't know. So I'm just targeting that demographic, but also targeting people that just want to get better at it in general, because there's always a lot that we can learn. But then the podcast came to be kind of under that same reason, right? Learning from others and whatnot, but also because of all the controversy that's going on, where New York banned DFS a couple days ago now, and all that stuff, I think, comes out of a place of ignorance where people don't really completely understand what DFS is all about. And not only that, but specifically who plays the game, right? It's easy to just judge people that are, they're just a nickname on the screen, right? It's just some freaking person, right, or robot. From like our perspective, it could be just an AI, a computer just playing, right? Exactly. There's no personality behind it. We can't really have that sort of human connection to it because it's just a name on a screen. So what I wanted to do was just bring those people like yourself, like Eric from Daily Fantasy Nerd, and just talk to them about what their experience is with DFS, why they like doing it, what kind of like some of the strategies they use as well for people to learn, and then just pretty much just give a voice to the DFS players, whether they're pros, whether they have their own website and tools and stuff, or whether they're just normal DFS players with their normal full-time job that do this as a hobby because they love sports and they just love this part of it. So that's what the podcast really is about.
All right. Good deal. Good stuff. So kind of give me a little bit of background into your DFS history. Like, how did you get into DFS? How long you've been playing?
Sure. I never actually done like a season long fantasy at all. And it's funny because a lot of the people that I already talked to in the podcast have been doing, that's kind of what they started doing, and that's how they pretty much made the transition to daily. But on my part, I've always loved sports. Like, that's just something, right? I played baseball since I was like 4 years old. I've always been playing sports and I just love them in general. And so towards September of last year, 2015, something that I've actually been doing for like 2 or 3 years now actually is kind of like a pick'em for football. So essentially, and for March Madness, which I'm on right now and sweating that out. But basically how it works is, specifically for football, you pick a team, just one team that you think is going to win it that weekend. So if they win, you make it to the next weekend and so on and so forth. But the tricky part about it is, whichever team you picked already, you can't pick for the remaining of the pick 'em. So you kind of want to pick a team that, specifically in March Madness, for example, you want to pick a team like it's kind of like a lower seed, but that is probably going to get eliminated in the next round. So you have better opportunities moving forward, but you don't want to pick someone that's too risky, but at the same time, you don't want to pick people that are too high seed, right? Because, for example, right now, if people picked very high seed teams in the beginning and they're still in the tournament, chances are they really have barely no one to pick from. So if you don't have anyone to pick from, you're automatically eliminated. So anyway, long story short, last September I got into that pick'em again for NFL, and at that point I realized, wow, this is really fun. Like, I've always enjoyed doing this. And by that point I had probably seen the FanDuel and DraftKings advertised me in a total of like 2 million times, maybe. I mean, those are the ones I remember counting. It's just insane how they were everywhere. And I figured, well, if I enjoyed this pick'em stuff, let me just try fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports. And since it was kind of mid-September, baseball was still going on. I love baseball. I figured, well, let me try it. And from there on, it's just been fun. I've been hooked since then, even though my first few days I just totally sucked because I didn't know what I was doing. But that's part of the fun, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. It's a learning experience. Yeah, definitely. Just going back to your pick'em that you were talking about, I actually played in the league similar. It was more of like you pick positions very similar to like FanDuel or DraftKings. You had like a full team, quarterback, running back, whatever. But the trick was, you once you picked a player, you couldn't pick that player again for the rest of the year.
Right.
So each week you had to build a new roster, you know, a full on roster, and each, you know, after each week you eliminated that player. So you try to get guys that were filling in for injured players, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. And I think it ran through ESPN, but for some reason they didn't run it this year. And I really liked it last year. And for some reason they didn't renew it this year.
That's actually pretty interesting. Yeah. So you don't have the people that for the first few weeks of NFL last year were picking Freeman all the time, right? So
right, exactly.
In a situation like that, like you pick Freeman already, you can't do it again. So that's exactly. That's really interesting.
All right. Well, you kind of already maybe touched on this, but what's your favorite sport to play on DFS? Is it baseball?
Actually, no. Baseball is probably one of my frustrating ones. It's just so much variance and stuff. And towards the end, I was getting better at it, so it's hard to tell. I was excited to get it started now in April, but I'm going to have to wait a little bit being in New York. But I would say basketball, mostly because it's the one that I've had the most success in, and I enjoy it, man. It's fun just seeing those numbers rack up. It's pretty cool. So yeah. Definitely basketball, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on the basketball. I think I do love playing football because I did start, you know, my mm-hmm. sort of fantasy life in football.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about NBA is you know your results that night.
Right. Whereas
football, if you play the all week, you know, you play the Thursday game, you got to wait till Sunday to play a Sunday game. And then Monday night, you know, you might finally figure out if you're going to win or not. I mean, I know they have other leagues where you can play like the 1 p.m. games and stuff like that.
Right.
But NBA is like instant results. You play your lineup, you know, if you stay up all night and watch the games, or if you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, okay, I know if I won or lost at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. And then a couple of things on that. What's really interesting about it is if you were to ask me what are my favorite sports in general, I would tell you in order of preference, it's just baseball, hockey, football, and then basketball. And to last year, it had been probably like 3 years since I actually watched a NBA game at that point. I used to watch it, but then I stopped watching it. But now I got into daily fantasy sports and I started watching it. And now it's like my favorite DFS sport, which is interesting. And I think it says a lot about the power of DFS regarding the sport itself, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your sentence.
No, I was gonna add to that as well. What I also like about basketball, and you can say the same about baseball and hockey, but what I like about them is what you mentioned, like it's daily. So today I didn't do so well, and then tomorrow's a new day, so I can adjust my strategy right away. And that's kind of why I like about it too. Those that are actually daily and not weekly, like PGA or football, because for football specifically, you only have 17 weeks or 18 or 17 really. During the season, and so you have 1 week. Let's say you did bad. Now you got to wait another week to test it out, and you only have really 17 shots to do that. For NBA, 17 shots to do it. It's only like the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So I feel like you get that iteration a little bit more, and if you manage your bankroll pretty well, you're gonna be able to get better at it as long as you're doing your research and actually learning from it. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Let's talk about a little bit about some basic strategies. What are some of the things that you would consider sort of DFS 101? If I was starting to play DFS today for the first time, what are some of the things that you'd, you know, kind of teach me or tell me that you must know this before you do anything?
Yeah, so I would say you got to subscribe to this podcast and my podcast to get started. I'm kidding. Not kidding, but kind of kidding. I think one of the things that I learned, and I think it's something that a lot of people mention in the DFS How To podcast, and it's something that you just don't think about specifically when you have all this advertisement saying, hey, you can win $1 million, you can win $1 million, is that you got to manage your bankroll, right? GPPs are fun. This big tournaments are fun. But you just got to be smart about it, and you got to realize that it's okay to play them, but you got to cover your behind, if you will, by playing the cash game. So cash games might not seem as enticing, right? It's only maybe $1 or $2 that you're playing there, and they become $4, but those $4 are the ones that are going to let you play day in and day out. So it's a matter of first understanding that playing cash games is fun because winning is better than losing. So, it's, you know, you want to play cash games to just be able to keep winning and whatnot. But apart from that, it's just sticking to one site, either FanDuel or DraftKings or even Yahoo if you want. Just stick to one website first and to one sport, because there's a learning curve for each sport and each website as well, because each website has a different lineup style. Each website has a different way of scoring and everything. So you want to understand, fully understand, let's say we pick NBA. You want to fully understand what's really needed in FanDuel NBA to cash in a cash game or cash in a GPP and how they score it and whatnot. So it's some, I feel like those are the two things people should definitely do and start focusing on.
Yeah, I agree with you on the bankroll management. That's something that I wish I knew in the beginning. Me, I was sort of like, you know, I'm just putting out lineups. I don't even know what leagues I'm entering. I'm just putting in lineups here and there. And I'm trying to pick my league or my team based on my, you know, season-long knowledge. And, of course, you can't really do that because you can't fit all those players in. So I ended up just picking some random guys, you know, at the end of my lineup. And I'm kind of like stuck with these guys that didn't do anything for me. So, yeah, it's definitely a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's take us through like a typical day as far as DFS, like, you know, your research, your lineup construction, like how, like where do you start and how do you go about building your lineups?
Sure. So I'll talk about NBA because that's where I have most of my experience right now. And so I actually have two methods for it. It depends how much time I have available to do it. Being daily and having a full-time job, it's pretty hard to actually just dedicate the whole day, right, to doing research. But let's assume first that we do have the time to do it. The first thing I really do is just look at the Vegas lines. I look at the games for that slate. I see the Vegas lines. And I usually just try to aim for any game with an over-under of at least 207 or so. I feel it's pretty good, but anything above 215 is just amazing, and you definitely want to look at it, specifically if the spread is pretty small, because that means it's going to be a shootout from both ends, and you don't risk a blowout and things like that. So I look at those games, I look at the Vegas lines for that, and once I pick those games and I kind of like look at it, I do one of two things. One, I look. Obviously, you got to determine what are the superstars in those games, right? If you have a Houston game or something, you know about Harden, you know about maybe Howard, if he's having maybe a good game for that, probably not. And if you have Sacramento, you look at Cousins, you look at Gay, maybe even Rondo, things like that. So you kind of like just point out the games you want and kind of the players that are there that you might want to target. And something that I do use sometimes that it proves to help, mostly if I'm between two specific players, but it still gives you a good guideline, is determining a little bit about the defense versus position. So if I see that Sacramento is playing Brooklyn, for example, and I see that Brooklyn's actually pretty bad against the center, and it depends which website you have. Sometimes they put in Cousins as the center, or sometimes power forward, but usually center, I believe.
Yep.
And you see that they're just horrible against the center. So you're like, all right, Cousins against Brooklyn, and it's like a 220 over-under. This is probably a legit play, right? But obviously you're not the only one on him because it's a great matchup. But still, it's something that you want to point out, right? You want to have that in mind. And just go kind of around the games like that. Look at the games that have a high over-under and look at the matchup, see who has the best matchup and whatnot. But even more than that, what's really, really crucial in NBA is looking at value plays. Value plays are really what's going to make or break your lineup. And what I mean by value plays are usually just players that are, their salary is pretty low, and they have a really, really good chance of getting over 30 minutes of game because of injuries or whatnot. So I think this was like 2 weeks ago now. A lot of the Memphis players were, like Memphis starters were out. And you had essentially the bench playing that game. So you're looking at a lot of players that are salaries are like minimum salary, if not close to minimum salary. And they're getting over 30-ish minutes because there's no one else to play. Like they have like 7 or 8 players to play. So they're obviously going to play. They're in the NBA. So they're going to get numbers, right? They're going to get points. They're going to get rebounds. They're going to get everything. So you look at those, and based on the injuries, you want to determine who your value players are as well. Because thanks to those value players, you're going to be able to plug in the DeMarcus Cousins, the Hardens, the Currys, the Westbrooks of the world. So it's really, really crucial. But yeah, I kind of just get a general sense of the playing field like that. And sorry if it sounds like very high level. It's just at this point, you kind of just have that knowledge a little bit where you know which teams you kind of want to target. Like you want to go against Houston, maybe, or Sacramento or the Lakers because their defense is not great. And usually those games are pretty high scoring. But it's something you pick up as you play a little bit more. But essentially, towards the end of the day, closer to tip-off, so around 6, so let's say it's a weekday where the game starts at 7, around between 6 and 7, you really have to pay a lot of attention to the news that come out, because that's when the actual value plays are going to come out, because that's when the news of, oh, this person's sitting because he's just wants to sit this game, or they're actually hurt or something, those are when these news become official, and that's when you can find value. However, something to really keep in mind is just because someone's injured and there's this new player coming in for him doesn't mean that you have to throw away everything you've been doing all day long to get that player in there. It doesn't mean that player is going to actually perform. If you already feel comfortable with your lineup and this news isn't earth-shattering, that's just absolutely got to get him in there, then don't do any changes because you can get burned by doing that, and
yes,
it sucks.
You can. Yes, you
so
can.
Just keep that in mind, and don't let something like that really just make you change your lineup just because it's latest news. So that's one strategy, and it was really, really long. But the other one is the one I use the most. I actually created my own spreadsheet with my own optimizer where I essentially just grab different sources from the web, including Daily Fantasy Nerd. And I get everyone's projections, and I pretty much just create an aggregate projection from all of them. And then I have a formula in the spreadsheet that just gives me the optimal lineup based on those and that projection. And I usually play that lineup, or I just tweak it a little bit based on some light research that I might have done. I don't know why I just said there, but, basically, yeah. So I just plug that in there. If there's some research that I did, that there's a player that I really know I want to play, I might just switch the lineup a little bit, but that process with my own spreadsheet, it literally takes me 10 minutes to do it. From scratch, right? Just getting the players from FanDuel, get him in the spreadsheet, getting all the projections and running the optimizer literally takes me like 10 minutes versus the first way that can take me the whole day, right?
It took you more than 10 minutes just to explain it, right?
Exactly. So, and not just to like plug my own website here, but if you're interested in looking more into the spreadsheet, I actually have a tutorial on how to do it both for DraftKings or FanDuel over at dfshowto.com. So
awesome. Yeah. Good stuff. I may actually check out that spreadsheet too. I've used a couple of different spreadsheets here and there, and I've tried to build some of my own to no success really. So I'll definitely have to go try yours out and see how that works out. So when you're building your lineups, now let's say you're building more than one lineup, do you typically lock in like 3 or 4 players that you're going to play in all your lineups, or do you diversify them and make them completely different from one another?
Yeah, so that's funny. So for NBA, I actually try to stick to one lineup. The only time I do more than one is if I'm between two players and I can't make up my mind, and I'll just create one lineup with that one player and another lineup with that other player. But usually I just stick to one lineup. I don't want to. I found for myself, I'm just better like that. And I don't play GPPs with like multi-entry and stuff. I just stick with single entry and things like that. So I don't do multi-entry. However, and the reason I really do this is because I've had situations in NFL where I have maybe 2 or 3 players that I actually log in, and then the rest of the lineups essentially different because there are other players that I want to play. So I built like 4 or 5 lineups like that. And I remember distinctively, I think it was one of the last weeks, probably like week 15 or something like that, that I had all the players that were doing amazing, but they were spread out through the 5 lineups.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
So I didn't have the right combination, but I had the right players. And that's just the most frustrating thing. So now I just try to stick to one lineup and be like, this is my lineup, this is what I truly believe in. So
just to kind of give you a little bit of how I do it, I actually do three lineups myself. I do a cash lineup, which is where I spend almost all my research. Like, that's mm-hmm. my main lineup. It's going to be entered in the most contests. I put all my work into that. And then once I have that lineup, I put it in on the cash games that I want, and I do enter it in a GPP because you never know.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be a GPP winner. So yeah. I plug it in, and then I do a second lineup that's loosely based on my cash lineup but has a little more higher risk players. Like, it may have the same sort of basic four or five studs and then a couple high upside guys that could, like, you know, go off for 50 or they might get you 10. So I put a couple of those guys in, and then I do what I call my contrarian lineup. Just from doing research from, like, Daily Fantasy Nerds and going to different blogs and talking to different groups that I know, just to kind of see what everybody is talking about, and I'll play the exact opposite of that. I'll play guys that nobody's talking about. And quite honestly, a lot of times my big winners are the ones where I went completely contrarian, where I picked players that no one was talking about. So those are my three that I basically play. You know, I play the other two. I only play them in tournaments, and then I'll have my cash lineups, you know, five, six, seven of those that I'll play the one lineup on, and it seems to work out for me. Sometimes I miss on everything. That's the worst, when you find misses and you don't hit on a GPP. Those are the worst nights. So
yeah, absolutely. But you got to take the risk. And to add to your point, it's so crucial to use that cash lineup in at least one GPP, because I've seen people posting like, oh, I played this cash lineup, but I didn't think of putting in a GPP, and they would have won big money with it. You know, like, there's a reason you're picking those players. You know, those are the ones that you're pretty sure they're going to do pretty well. And if they do a little bit better than pretty well, then you're probably going to do pretty well in GPP. Yeah,
exactly.
So.
Exactly. I actually have a worse story. I have a guy that sent me his lineup. He built it, because I do the same thing. I've almost built all my lineups in the free leagues, because I like to be able to mess around with them all day long. And then once I get a lineup that I like, I'll lock it into the tournaments. Well, he built a lineup in a free league and then got busy and didn't plug it into any tournaments.
Oh, man.
And his lineup scored 380 points that night.
Jesus.
Nothing from it. He was
upset. That's
brutal.
that's FanDuel?
Yeah, that was FanDuel. Yep.
Yeah. That's brutal, man.
I think I looked up, because I was in a tournament, and I think he would have made something like, if he had entered in the $1 like large tournament, he was in like the $1,000 range. I mean, he was like up there.
Wow.
Really, really done well for himself. So.
That's frustrating, man. That sucks. And that's 380 is something you're not going to hit probably in a while.
Not very often at all.
Yeah, that's all. That's just sad. I was gonna say awesome, but it's not awesome at all. It's just sad. But and to add to your third strategy there too, I think it's really interesting as well, because that's not to say that these websites are wrong. It's just that all these websites have a following. They have a lot of people that are listening to what they're saying, and they trust what they're saying. So they usually do play those people in. They put those people in their lineup. So you have high ownership for them, and if you're going contrarian, chances are the people that you're picking are like super low owned, and if they take off, then it's just party time. So it's a great strategy.
Yep. All right. Let's see here. If you could take yourself and go back in time and just tell yourself one thing, you know, when you first started, if you can just go back, whether it be a mistake that you made or whether it be something that you learned, you know, from the course of playing DFS, you can go back and tell yourself one thing, what would it be?
Don't do it. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's definitely, I don't regret it at all. It's been fun, and I want to keep playing for sure. I think, I mean, not to give the same answer twice, but just bankroll. It's just, I probably lost like $50 on my first like 2 weeks, because I was just so interested in this millionaire maker and not cashing whatsoever, because why would I win that money, you know? I mean, it will be don't put a pitcher against a hitter in your own lineup, because that's stupid. That's what I did on my first day. I should put two hitters against my pitcher, and it was just like, all right, I definitely need to learn a little bit more. So that's one. But yeah, like the basics like that of the do's and don'ts when building a lineup. And yeah, but bankroll management, like, tell myself, listen, I understand how excited you are for that $1 million. Everyone is. But play those cash games, play the GPP, I mean, the, sorry, the double up, play the 50-50s and stuff like that, and just make sure you don't go broke and you're able to enjoy this for a little longer and don't have to put more money in there.
Exactly. Yeah, that's I think what I would tell myself too, because when I was just like you, when I first got into it, I didn't quite go to the millionaire maker type tournaments. I was still a little gun shy. But once I got comfortable and I started winning these cash games, I was like, oh man, this is easy. And then I started playing in the big tournaments, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I'm not winning anymore. What's going on? I thought my lineups were good.
Yeah. So, yeah. And to add to that too, is you see you're enticed by this. Oh, it's only, I don't know, $15, $25, and I can essentially win $100,000 just tonight, right? If you're looking at MLB or something. But when you're starting out, first of all, there's a lot of people have been doing this for at least a year or two more than you. So they really know the ins and outs. Because there's a difference between knowing the sport, knowing the split players, and actually knowing how to play DFS. You know, there's an actual, even though you can know the people, and that's going to help you out, absolutely. Knowing how to play DFS is just a whole different story. So there's people that know both. They know the sport and they know how to play. So going into it, you first need to figure out how to play. Learn more about the players, because chances are I was a fan of baseball, I didn't know a lot of the players, and like I didn't know the big names in each team, but I didn't know who the fifth, sixth, seventh batter was unless they play the Yankees, you know. So, and that's the truth of the matter. So I think it's important to understand that those people that have been playing for a while are usually in those higher entry tournaments. So you got to focus when you're starting out, you got to focus in playing low entry fees, even if it's just dollar and it seems like, oh, it's just $700 compared to $100,000. But $700 is better than nothing and losing those $25, right? So, and it's still really exciting. You know, if you can convert dollar to $700, I think it's a pretty good ROI. Yes. So yeah, I mean, it's just keeping that in mind. Even as you get better and better, if it's working, there's no need to change it, you know? Just stick to those low entry fees, both in cash and GPPs. I think it's another crucial thing that I will tell myself as well.
Good deal. All right, so you've already kind of mentioned that you're in New York, and I know you put out a little short podcast kind of talking about, you know, your thoughts on FanDuel and DraftKings pulling out of New York. So just kind of give us a brief synopsis of, like, what are your thoughts? Like, what do you think is going to happen in New York? Do you think it'll come back? Just kind of go over that.
Yeah. So for those listening and still don't know, New York, DraftKings, FanDuel, and actually Yahoo today pulled out of New York, and we can't play DFS here for a little bit. And there's like an actual legislation or something, some law stuff going on in June, and that's the earliest that we probably could play. If not, there's an actual official hearing happening in September. So the big thing here, and I'm kind of optimistic about it. Obviously, part of you still has some doubts about it because of everything that's been going on. But I think the big thing to understand here is why is this happening, right? So first, what the Attorney General of New York is saying is that daily fantasy sports is a game of chance. And if the game is a game of chance, then it's pretty much just betting and people are just wasting their money and it's a game of luck and people have absolutely no control over it. Therefore, based on the law, it's illegal to have it. So what FanDuel and DraftKings are saying, and anyone that you talk to in the DFS world, which is, again, the motivation behind DFS How To's podcast, is that it is in fact a game of skill. And that's why you're listening to this. That's why you go out there and you do your research. That's why you listen to what other people are saying, because there is a learning curve here. And it's essentially what you and I have been talking about all podcast long right now, Jeff, is there is that learning curve. There is that game of skill. And I can bet you anything, no pun intended, which is actually the same joke I used on that episode, that if I play the Attorney General an NBA for a week, 75% of the times or more, I'm going to beat him at it. And that's not just because I'm luckier than him. It's just because I know how to build a lineup for NBA. I've been playing it for a while now. I know the players that I should be playing that night. And if it were just because of luck, there's no way I'm going to win more than 75% of the time. It's just like flipping a coin. The best I probably have is 50%, right? And or less than that if it's just completely based on luck. So I think a lot of it comes out of that ignorance of not understanding really what DFS is all about, who plays DFS. Because like I mentioned before, it just looks like names on a screen and people can just think it's a computer behind that screen, and it's not. So I think when we start to humanize it a little bit, when we start to see there's people like yourself, Jeff, there's people like me, there's people that have a full-time job, a family, people that go to college and are trying to pay their college tuition with this. When you start looking at it like that and you see all these normal people that are playing, you understand a little bit more. You understand that it's just normal human beings enjoying their hobby, right? And beyond that, and the fact that it's in fact a learning game of skill, to me, it's one of the best things that could have happened to sports in general, right? It's the reason why ESPN and all these major networks and websites and everything had or have deals with DraftKings and FanDuel, because they believe it as well. They know it as well. And like I mentioned earlier, I stopped watching NBA like 3 years, 4 years ago, and now I'm watching a lot of games because of this. Like, it's getting me back into that. So there is no reason today for anyone to watch, I wouldn't say the Lakers, because obviously you have Kobe Bryant there, who is his last season, but teams that are completely eliminated from the playoffs, there's no reason for people to watch them unless they have players from that team on their lineup. And I watch teams that are completely eliminated now because of that. And I stay up late to watch them because of that. So it brings more attention to the sport. People learn more about the sport and the players, how well they're performing, who's the actual good people, who is just absolutely sucks and gets hurt all the time, and all that good stuff. So in general, I just don't see how people playing DFS is affecting anyone in a bad way whatsoever. And just to kind of start closing up on that, a lot of people just associate betting with a certain kind of persona, right? Like, you think of betting and it just has this really negative connotation, and you kind of imagine who's actually behind it, just this kind of like mafia kind of guy, you know, screwing people over and whatever. And that's not the case at all, right? So that's my main goal with the podcast. That's, I think, something that people need to understand and realize, that we're just normal human beings and we just enjoy doing this. So hopefully by June I can start losing some money in MLB, but also making some money back and just enjoying the sport and the hobby that we all like. So
yeah, and just to go over the whole impact of FanDuel and what kind of impact it has on it, the NBA has actually changed some of the way they do their scheduling based strictly on DFS. Mm-hmm. Perfect example is last year on Thursday nights was pretty much an off night for the NBA. Like, you'd be lucky if you got one game. And of course, if there's one game on, you know, DFS, they don't have any games because you can't play, you know, right, a full lineup from one game. But you look at this year, I mean, they literally changed their schedule to have more than one game on Thursday nights. I mean, some nights, mm-hmm, there's 8 or 9 games on Thursday nights. And it's based strictly on DFS and the viewership, because they saw that one game, even though it may be, you know, a primetime game, might be a huge game, had lower ratings than the rest of the week because no one was watching those games because they had no DFS implications at all. Mm-hmm. So just to see, you know, that's a huge impact. You know, this is a multi-billion-dollar corporation, NBA is, that are changing the way they do things based, right, on DFS.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's huge.
And just to kind of like add a little bit more to it, and that's amazing. I actually didn't know that specific fact, and that's just really, really interesting. To add to it a little bit more, kind of what bothers me a little bit about it is I feel like there's so many other issues that we need to take care of, whether it's New York or other states, that just are way more important than people betting or just playing this game with money, you know? So I think there's other things I should be paying more attention to than something like this, that it just doesn't hurt anyone and actually makes more money for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a lot of just publicity, because, you know, yeah, you take something away that everybody loves, you know, you're going to get publicity. Whereas, exactly, if you're trying to, like, you know, you do something that, you know, all politicians do, that, you know, sort of like behind the scenes stuff, you know, no one ever talks about those kind of things. So it's like,
exactly,
you tackle this, you're going to be all over the news. Everyone's going to know your name. So yep. When re-election comes up, you know, it's just one of those things that they're just doing it for publicity, I think. I don't think they have any
politics with
it. Exactly. It's exactly what it is.
And that's what's sad about it, you know. And truly what's truly sad about it, too, is that the normal – not normal, right? But the people – because DFS is still – for us, it looks like a huge industry, and it is. But there's still so many people that watch sports and like sports that they just don't play it yet, right? And so for those people looking from the outside in – the only thing they're seeing lately is all this bad publicity about it. Like, it's just a game of, it's just betting. There's a lot of sharks and all that bad stuff. And don't get me wrong. Like, there's a lot of things that need to improve for DFS to really be a little bit more of an even playing field and just make it better for everyone in general. But it's been improving slowly, but that's what people see, right? And now you have this really negative connotation about it, then you kind of agree with what the attorney general is saying, even though you're not fully informed, and neither is he. And I think that's what's really sad about it in general.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. So let's switch gears a little bit here. So you mentioned that, you know, obviously FanDuel, DraftKings has pulled out of New York, and you said today Yahoo pulled out.
Yep.
Are there any sites that you're able to still play for those of y'all that are still in New York? Are there still sites that are running in there?
I don't think so. So what's funny about it too is I actually signed up to Yahoo yesterday since they were still accepting. So, and then today they're like, oh, actually, no, you can't play anymore. So there's that. But I know DraftPod is another website and they sent an email. I think it was early today or yesterday saying the same thing. So basically they're all pulling out, and there's actually this new startup called DFSArena.com, which I'm actually interviewing the founder for that in a few episodes. And what they're trying to do, which is interesting, and I'm interested to just hear more about him and what they're doing, is their tournaments are actually free entry, but you get a gift card or some sort of monetized incentive if you're in like in the top X amount. So it's free entry, but you actually make money out of it. So in that scenario, you can still play it because you're not really putting money down. It's just kind of like a contest, if you will.
Right.
So that would be the only one that I could play. But they're still starting out, so they do contests here and there and not like every night. So gotcha. It'll be interesting to see how they do. But yeah, for now, I'm just talking about DFS without having the ability to play DFS. So
that's tough. That's tough.
It is.
Yeah, I actually have a million an idea that's going to hopefully make me millions one day. Let's put it that way. That after, if DFS ever does end, I have an idea for like a new sort of DFS / season long, leagues. And basically what I was thinking of doing is say like, you know, a season long league where you pick your team in the beginning of the year, you have that team all year, you know, you can drop and pick up free agents. I want to play in a league where every week you're playing against another person, like an, you know, one of your friends, but you pick your team like DFS. So right. It's kind of like a DFS season long league.
Right.
You know, obviously you could, you know, do it on Yahoo and your friends could, you know, pull up the money. Everyone puts in their $10 or $15 or $20 or whatever your case may be. And basically play DFS season long, which I think would be really cool.
I think that would be pretty awesome. And Why wouldn't you do it even if DFS continues? Do you think people wouldn't be interested?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I guess I could still try it and see. I just think if DFS did go away, I think it would generate a little bit more interest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's for sure. But even if they stick around, I think it would be something interesting. And we can talk about it a little bit more offline. But I think it's a pretty cool idea because honestly, for me, what frustrates me about season long is that if I pick a player, whoever, I don't know, that just gets hurt like midway through the season or in the beginning of the season, now I'm screwed, you know, and I got to figure out from the free agents, whoever's left really, who can I pick up, you know, and this other person can have a good lineup that never gets hurt, nothing happens to them, and they're good to go. So to me, there's almost a lot more luck involved in long season and season long than there is in daily, because daily you can adjust accordingly every single week.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I was thinking too. I was like, you know, if you could create a league with you know, 10 or 12 of your friends, just like you would season long, and then just play like you would DFS. You know, I think that'd be a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's something that I try, because essentially you can kind of do that in FanDuel, but because you can create your own private league and do that, you know?
Right.
But if it's officially just that and a little bit more legal, I think it will be interesting.
All right. So let's go back and talk about just in general your nights in DFS when you were able to play. You kind of proposed this question to me when I was on your podcast, so I'm going to turn it on you. Your most memorable night in DFS and your most forgettable night.
Sure. Yeah, good one there. So I'm going to start with my most frustrating one. And so this actually happened not too long ago. And there's actually two stories there. One, I was like in the green for pretty much all my tournaments. I don't remember exactly like my lineup or when it was or anything, but I was in the green. I was doing pretty well. And I was like on the border, right? So anything that could have happened, it would have gotten me out of the green or whatnot. And Portland was playing, and it was pretty much a blowout. They were winning by just enough, you know, they were winning by a lot in the fourth quarter. And CJ McCollum was actually not playing that quarter because they were winning by a lot. And to my great luck, he was really high owned. And for some reason, I really, to this day, will never understand. He came in with 2 minutes to go. He had a play where he got 2 points, enough to get me out of the green in all the lineups, all the tournaments. And then he sat down. He literally was in the game for like 30 seconds, enough to get 2 points, and sat down. It was like the fantasy gods were like, oh, let me just get him in there too, so Jose can't win at all. It's literally what happened. And it's just so frustrating when something like that happens. It's like, are you kidding? And it was like the last game of the night. So that was literally just it. And
that's the worst.
It was really, really frustrating. So that was that. And then there was another time that I was between Levine and someone else. I forget who it was, but pretty much a shooting guard, same price and everything. And I was talking to a buddy of mine between who to pick, Levine or I think it was maybe JJ Redick or something. And he was telling me, oh, I think JJ Redick's going to be a good play, but my optimizer just spit out Levine. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to stick to it. I think he has a good matchup too and everything. But Levine is pretty, for those that haven't played NBA much, Levine is actually pretty up and down. He can have amazing games, or he can have games like almost like tonight. I think he got like 9 points or something. And it just happens. But for that night, I actually missed the green by 0.7 in my score. And what's even better about it is that JJ Redick, assuming it was JJ Redick, actually had like 10 more points than Levine. So that would have been more than enough for me to actually be in the green had I played the other player. But even more than that, 0.7 means one assist, one rebound, one less turnover. You know, anything that small would have been enough for me to be in the green. And it's just, there's nights like that, you know, where you're so close and it's just so frustrating when that happens. But there's also other nights where, for me, this was that I was telling you about was actually in FanDuel. But before I was playing in DraftKings, and there was a night that for like a month, they've been having the satellites for a big tournament. I think I want to say like mid-November. They had a tournament in like mid-November that the entry fee was $300 and the size of the tournament was like 4,000 something. And if you were like in the top 500, or actually like in the top 500, maybe something like that, you would win at least $600. And if you were in the first place, it was something crazy, like 100,000 or something like that. So it was like a very small pool for a very big prize pool. And I actually tried 3 times to win the satellite for that tournament, because I'm not going to pay $300 for entry fee. I just want to get in there if I can. So I actually had I tried 2 times and I didn't get it. I was actually kind of close one time. And that was one of the times where I was just actually winning it. And slowly as the night went by, I went down a little bit and didn't get it. But so this tournament was actually on a Wednesday. And the Saturday before that Wednesday, I went into a quarter, just 25 cents satellite, where the top five people get the ticket for it. And this is out of a bunch of people. And I actually won the ticket for it. And I played on that one on Wednesday. And at one point of the night, I was making like $3,000. But during the night, I kind of slowly went down and I made the minimum, which was 600. But that was probably the most amazing night. Both of them combined, right? Like winning that satellite, obviously, I won quite a bit of money that night too, because the lineup did really well. But then Wednesday, just being able to play that and just being able to cash was felt pretty good. And obviously, I took those $600 and just freaking cashed them out right away.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. There's actually one thing that I thought about after we did your podcast that I forgot to bring up. And it was actually just last week, I believe. I had a lineup in a GPP. And I actually posted this on my Instagram account. But I had... The top lineup, I had every single player that the top lineup had, except I had Zach LaVine and he had Lance Stephenson. And that was the only difference between me and winning like a couple grand. It was crazy. I was like so upset. And actually, I was debating between Lance Stephenson and Zach LaVine. I was like, and I just, for some reason, just didn't play Lance Stephenson that night. And I still kick myself for that one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the lesson here is just don't play LaVine, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. He got you and he got me.
Exactly. He's a burner.
Exactly. And he's actually burning me tonight as we talk about this.
So how many points did he get?
Zach LaVine that night, or I mean tonight?
Tonight,
let me pull it up here. I got him on my screen here. He actually ended up with 23, so it was horrible. It could have been better.
I think at the half he had like 1 point.
Yeah, exactly. I think for a while he had negative points because I had him, looking at him like, negative points, man, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. I think this is going to be a really good podcast for my listeners. I know we've got a lot of like new players out there that are just getting into DFS. So a lot of times my podcast may go over their heads as far as like talking about top plays and D versus P and all these acronyms that we're using.
Yeah.
I think this will definitely sort of help out my listeners, the ones that are just starting out to feel a little more comfortable playing DFS with some of the big boys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know how overwhelming it can be and all that, like tilting and fading and chalk and all that stuff. Yeah. It's like, what? Even GPP for me was like, what the hell is a GPP? Yeah. What does that even mean? You know, like we all start there. And it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. So, yeah, like you said, for those listening, if you're starting out, head on over just to dfshowto.com, check it out, and just look up DFS How To in iTunes, and you can find it there, the podcast. And for those that have been playing for a little bit, maybe not too long, like I've only been playing like 6-7 months, and you want to talk about your experience and you want your voice to be heard, just shoot me an email as well at hello@dfshowto.com, and I'll be happy to set something up and you can get on the show as well. So
good deal. And you're on Twitter too, right? Give me your Twitter handle as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Twitter is just @dfshowto. Pretty simple.
All right, good deal. Yeah, so definitely worth the follow, guys. And definitely worth a subscribe on iTunes as well. I subscribe to the podcast, so definitely a good listen, guys. So please, do my friend here, Jose, a good solid and subscribe to the podcast. All right, man. Hey, it's good to have you on. Hopefully we can do this again sometime in the near future. When New York gets FanDuel and DraftKings back, we can have a podcast again and talk about all the good stuff going on.
Absolutely. We can celebrate when that happens. Thank you for having me, Jeff. It's been really fun. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
You too. See you later.
Going for Two, your number one source for fantasy sports with top-notch fantasy sports advice, an exclusive community forum, and some of the best and most knowledgeable writers in fantasy sports. Visit today at going42.com. That's going42.com. Going for Two features NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and more. And they also provide the best advice for your FanDuel, DraftKings, or daily fantasy sports site. Sign up for the Going for Two newsletter and get updates immediately through your email. And while you're on the site, make sure you check out the exclusive section, Why I Hate. That's going42.com, G-O-I-N-G, F-O-R, 2. Going42.com, Go visit and get the inside scoop of everything fantasy sports.
All right, guys, as promised here, we're going to re-air the interview that we had with Bruce from No Halftime, the founder of the No Halftime app. Again, that promo code, if you want to sign up, is G42. So without further ado, let's go ahead and re-air this interview. All right, guys, welcome back. And we are here today with co-founder Bruce of the No Halftime app. For those of y'all that have been listening to the podcast for a while, you've heard the commercial run quite a bit. If you read my columns, you've seen I've promoted it in my columns quite a bit as well. So we decided to bring Bruce on to kind of talk about the app and what's coming up in the future. So we can go ahead and bring Bruce on. Bruce, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, good deal. Let's go ahead and just kick it off with the listeners that may not know what the No Halftime app is. If you can just kind of tell us what it is, kind of how it came about, and, you know, just kind of give them an idea of what the app is all about.
Okay. Yeah, sure. No problem. Well, thanks for having me on. So No Halftime, as some of your listeners may know, it is a all new fantasy sports app that deals with one-on-one fantasy matchups. So let's say, for example, you could create a fantasy matchup that you believe one player will do better than another. For example, if it's an NBA challenge, you could say you believe that LeBron James will do better than Steph Curry. And you create that challenge. You then share it either with your friends or you could share it with the world. So a challenge can be either public or private. And they can, if they believe the other player is going to do better, then they can take the other side. So you take one side, one player, the other guy takes the other player. And yeah, that's essentially No Halftime. You know, it's quick, it's easy. You know, you don't have to worry about drafting a team. You don't have to worry about managing lineups. And you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, budgets and worried about salaries. And so, you know, it's quick and easy. You get in there, there's multiple sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, golf, soccer. We're going to be adding, some new sports throughout the year, like NASCAR, maybe even MMA. So yeah, it's a great app. And you know, we've been out since, October 19th. You know, so far so good, you know, that we've gotten a lot of great feedback from, users who, you know, they've tested the app and, you know, they love it. You know, the whole app, you know, it came about because we love fantasy. Like me and the other guys, we love fantasy. I've been playing fantasy for the last 20 some odd years. You know, I was playing it back when it was paper and pencil. And,
you know, you go way back.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been playing it for a long time, as have the other guys. So for us, you know, this is perfect. You know, we get a chance to do fantasy sports. Also, you know, we get to also, you know, do technology with this app. So it's cool. So, you know, it's a win-win, you know, for us. So
yeah, it's definitely a very simple app to use, guys. I personally have used it quite a bit, and it's so simple to set up. I mean, you literally just pick the player you want to go against. And, you know, that's it. And then you just wait for someone to accept your challenge. Or like he said, you can post it with your friends too. Super easy to use, guys. And if you sign up using my promo code G42, you will get $5 free to play. So definitely no reason to not play.
Yep.
You kind of already touched on my next question here as to what sports you cover. Expanding into MMA and NASCAR and... So you're pretty much going to cover every major sport, basically.
That's the plan. I mean, the plan really is to take over the world. I mean, we have the major sports, football, basketball, baseball, hockey. You know, the other sports like, you know, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, soccer, Those are all sports that, you know, we think there's a market for it, that users will be interested in it. So we feel like this app, it covers the gambit in terms of, you know, your fantasy needs. So, one of the beautiful things about the app is, you know, kind of like you said, it's so easy to use. Like, we're not trying to replace traditional fantasy or even your daily fantasy. Like, you know, a lot of our users still use DraftKings. They still use FanDuel. But what we want to do is offer them just a new choice, a new option to, you know, to play fantasy sports and maybe even win some money. So,
yeah, it's actually something that I do with just the some of the guys that I know that are, quote unquote, you know, daily fantasy experts or fantasy experts in my field. We'll have a disagreement on a player, you know, like, oh, I like this guy tonight, or I like this guy tonight. So we'll actually go in and create that challenge right there in no halftime, just to kind of see how, you know, how my player did against his player. So it's really cool in that respect.
Nice.
Now with the, there's different game types, as far as public, private, there's also league play too. Can you get into a little bit of how the league play works?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So the league play, it's really, you can set up with your friends, a public or private league. So basically, a league where, and it's kind of like traditional fantasy football or basketball, where you can set up a league, and if you want only your friends in it, you can make it private. Or if you just want to create a league and just, and go against other people, you can make it public. With a league, challenges that you create and you send to that league, only league members can actually see the challenge and accept it. So it's perfect, you know, if you have like a group of guys, or, you know, you want to, you have just an interest in that one particular sport. Hey, you can just create a league and share the challenge with that league. And you know, within the league also, there's a standing. So you can see how you stack up against your friends or your opponent.
That's pretty cool. I actually haven't tried the league play yet, but I may have to go in and take a look at that, because that's pretty cool.
Definitely.
Keeping the standings and everything else.
Yeah, we're planning some major updates to the league feature that you know, I'm sure we can probably talk about a little bit later. But yeah, the league, it's pretty cool. It's definitely pretty cool.
Now, I know one question that I had that when I first got the app, that I sent actually to the support just to make sure that, you know, this was taken care of is, you know, obviously you can create challenges a few games out, you know, at least 3 or 4 days out. And then, of course, in NBA, you always have the chance that your player might get ruled out for that game. Do you have any sort of safeguards to that happening?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's actually one of the cool things about our app also is we're all about making sure that the fantasy experience is fun, and people don't feel like, you know, they're getting, you know, getting holes, or they're getting, you know, the raw end of the stick. So what we do is, look, if a player doesn't play in the game due to injury, then we essentially give both people back their money. So if you create a challenge and someone else accepts that challenge, and your player or one of the players gets injured, you get your money back. And, you know, everyone is happy. Everyone, you know, everyone goes, walks away and says, hey, you know what? I'll go ahead and create another challenge because, hey, look, I understand that, you know, that, you know, we want to make sure that all the challenges are fair and everyone has an opportunity to win. And yeah, so if you create a challenge and that player doesn't play due to injury, we void the challenge and everyone gets their money back. So,
and just to clarify, it's if they're ruled out for the entire game, correct? If they get injured during the game, that doesn't count?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay.
They have to be ruled out for the entire game. So they can't actually, like, play in the game and then get injured.
Right.
And then, yeah, so you're correct. You're correct in that, from that standpoint. Oh, look at you. You know the rules better than I do.
All right. Well, exactly how, like, you know, on an estimate, I don't know if you've got like exact statistics or whatever on your end, but like how big is the No Halftime community, and how much do you want it to grow? Like, or how much do you think it'll grow in 2016?
Oh man, that's a great question. Well, we at the moment have tons of users on the system. We have tons of active users for each of the sports. So for football, hockey, for basketball,
And we just turned on baseball, so we're just starting to see numbers in terms of, you know, users who are interested in baseball. So the community is growing. Again, you know, we're a relatively new app, so you know we've seen steady growth since our launch, and we honestly, in terms of where we want to be this year, I mean, we have our own estimates in our head, but honestly, you know, we're having so much fun with this app that, hey, look, if the users who are on it were the only ones that we had and they were active, I'd be happy with that. I mean, as long as the people who are using the app are having fun, that's all that really matters. That's all that really matters to us, you know. And obviously, we want to have new users because, you know, that increases the chances of, you know, challenges being created and challenges being accepted. But again, you know, as long as the people who are using the app are happy, that's all that matters to us.
Yeah, and I will say, in my experience with the app, I've had no issues getting people to accept my challenges. I pretty much try to set them up early in the day, and I've had no issues. You know, pretty much all the even matches that I create, they're pretty much all accepted. So,
yeah,
no issues with that at all. So I'm sure your community is definitely very active in what they're doing. Oops, sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm just happy that wasn't me.
I actually have my phone on vibrate and do not disturb, but I forgot I set an alarm, and that kind of overrides all of that. All right. So the app now is currently available only on iPhone. Is that correct?
That is correct. But we actually have plans, and it's in development now, but we're in developing the Android version, and we're hoping to have that Android version available by April the 3rd. So we're hoping to have that out because a lot of our users say, hey, look, they know people who would use the app, but they don't have an iPhone. So yeah, we've heard the people, and we're going to give them what they want, which is an Android version.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question that I get in my promotions is, you know, is there an Android version?
Yeah.
I keep telling them it's coming, guys. So.
It's coming. You know, it's funny. We've actually been testing the Android version for a while now. Again, you know, we take pride in making sure that whatever product we put out there that, you know, that people are going to love it and enjoy it. So we wanted to not just rush something to market like an Android version. We wanted to take our time, find the bugs, make sure there are no issues. And at the moment, you know, we have a date set that we're going to release it. And yeah, I think we're on track at the moment to get it released. And yeah, I think people are really going to like the Android version when they play with it.
Now, I'm curious because I haven't actually looked at the baseball challenges yet. Mm-hmm. Is it positional based? Like, can you put a pitcher versus a hitter, or how does that work?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So within the system, we have the baseball scoring. So, you know, you could, if you wanted to, you could create a fantasy challenge that, hey, Matt Harvey of the Mets will have a better fantasy day than Trout. So you could actually create that challenge. Again, it really falls on the users to know what the fantasy scoring is, and know if that even makes sense to do. So you could do it if you wanted to, you know, or you could create an Alex Rodriguez versus Mike Trout, you know. So you could create that challenge if you wanted, or different positions.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool. I mean, I don't really play baseball fantasy that much, and I would assume that pitchers are probably like quarterbacks where they get the most points. I don't know if that would be a viable challenge or not, but I was just curious to how that works.
Yeah, yes. I mean, no, so you should actually check it out. Check it out. You might actually become a baseball fantasy user. You know, the cool thing about No Halftime is that baseball and some of these other sports, our app is perfect for it. It's perfect. When you think about it, one of the reasons why I never got into fantasy baseball or even basketball was because there was so much management that you had to do day in and day out. It wasn't just with football; you could just you just have one day or 2 days out of the week. You know, if you're really gung ho, maybe 4 days out of the week. But you know, with traditional baseball, you know, it's almost every day you got to be thinking about who's in your lineup. With No Halftime, It's one day. You pick the player. You pick the other player. Boom. You challenge someone. They either take the challenge or they don't. It's as simple as that.
Exactly. It's so easy. And we, I know we keep talking about creating challenges too, but you can also obviously join challenges that someone else created.
Yes.
There's
yes.
a little bit an interface in there that allows you to, you know, select challenges that another player has created to make it even easier to join challenges.
Oh yeah. That's the beauty of the system. It's all about peer to peer, right? So, you know, unlike some of the other fantasy apps that are out there, where you have to enter into a contest and there's like 30 other people who you got to compete against and you have to finish in the top five in order to get some kind of financial prize. No, it's one guy versus another guy. You create a challenge of two players and then someone else accepts that challenge. It couldn't be any simpler than that.
It really is that easy. I mean, it literally is, guys. You should definitely check it out. It's obviously in the iTunes store. Use my promo code G42. That's G42, the number four. So yeah, definitely check that out. Like I said, you get free $5 for using my promo code. And then we'll kind of wrap it up with some of the new features that might be on the horizon for No Halftime. Yes. You got anything coming up in the near future?
That is a great question. We do. One of the things I can honestly say is that we talk about new features daily, like new things we want to add to the app. People message us on Twitter. You can follow us at N Halftime on Twitter. And they tell us, hey, these are the things that would make this app even better. Like, for example, we're going to be adding live data to the app. So now when you create a challenge and someone accepts it, you can actually follow along to see how your players are doing, how your challenge, you know, how much fantasy points are they getting, you know, while the game is going on. We're also going to be adding player statuses, so you can see, hey, is this player out or is this player day to day? You know, so you can make a more informed decision about whether you want to create the whether you want to accept a challenge or not. Obviously, you know, we mentioned the Android version that's going to be coming out. We're also going to be looking to improve the leagues feature. So we may even add like a little leaderboard, so you can see who are some of the top users in the app, and maybe add in some other features that we really, really think that, you know, that users are going to love. So yeah, that's just a sneak peek of the iceberg that's coming. So it's only the tip.
All right, man. Hey, good deal, man. A lot of exciting stuff coming up for the app. I'm excited about it. Like I said, I play it, you know, 3-4 times a week. I'll definitely get on there and create challenges. I create challenges with other, you know, DFS type players that, you know, we have an argument over, you know, a player or whatever. So it's definitely a really cool app, guys. You definitely need to check that out.
Hey, if you get on there, you should invite me to a challenge. My username is just NicksWin95. So that's Knicks, like the New York Knicks. So NicksWin95. So yeah, send me a challenge, man. If you get a chance, I love NBA. I love NFL. You know, I'll even look at baseball and some other sports. If you send me that challenge, yeah, I'll check it out, man.
All right, definitely. I'll definitely send you the challenge. I wrote down the name, so I'll definitely send you a challenge.
Cool.
All right. Hey, Bruce, I appreciate you coming on. I think we got some really good information here about the No Halftime app. Hopefully the listeners are really excited about it and go download it.
Definitely.
And remember to, guys, use my promo code G42 and you get a free $5 to play the app. You also have free contests too. We didn't touch on that, but if you want to play the app for free, there is free contests on there as well. All right, Bruce. Hey, well, I appreciate the time and thanks for coming on the show.
No problem.